Our first reading is taken from Psalm 72. And if you've got a church Bible, it's on page 585. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This that you've heard is the word of God. For those of you that don't know my name, I'm Doug, and I do some work in the local prison in Birmingham. But today, I've come to talk about Epiphany, this powerful story of the star appearing to who we call the Magi. And the theme today is clues, dots and the light. So let's see where this is going to work. Great. I've got a clicker here that I think... Wonderful. Lovely. I love games, so Bex and I play quite a lot of games, and I brought some of them here that we're going to look at, because the points we're making are based on three particular games, okay? But before I get into that, I just want to say, these are powerful passages. Psalm 72, what a wonderful passage. You know that? With David, Israel expanded. All the tribes were united. 12 tribes under one king, King David. David had a son called Solomon. And we see the king being wise. And so this Psalm 72 is kind of like a coronation psalm that is read for the kings of Judea. But after Solomon, there was a bit of a split in the kingdom. So you had 10 tribes led by one of the servants who worked with Solomon, and then 2 tribes deciding that they're going to follow the lineage that brings the Messiah. So they formed the tribe of Judea, or the king of Judea. So we have this split in the kingdoms early on. And what we see here is this coronation psalm is spoken out when they're anointing the kings of Judea to get into position. So it talks about the king judging your people with righteousness and the poor with justice. And there's that whole bringing some good, that we have a king that actually meets the will of God, king that rules well rather than that oppresses us. But I feel like this passage goes farther, because in verse 4 it says, may he defend the cause of the poor and bring deliverance to children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Then in verse 9, may desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick dust. A bit like Genesis 3, when we hear the serpent being told to feed from dust. Then he talks about, may this king rule from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. That sounds a bit greater than Solomon. Pointing to a king that is going to be great. And then Matthew, another very fascinating passage, Matthew 12. Matthew is written to actually a Jewish community, Jewish readers. And yet the Magi were Gentile. So it's like as though Matthew is saying, wait a minute, this is for you who think you're the chosen ones, the chosen tribes. But I'm going to put a stone in your shoe. I'm going to bring in Gentiles. Now, traveling from where they came from in Persia would have taken them on caravan over a month of traveling. Yet from Jerusalem to where particularly the baby Jesus was would have been maybe a few hours. But the chief priests are not traveling to go and worship. It's the Magi, the Gentiles. Because Matthew is saying, wait a minute, I'm writing to Jewish people, but the Gentiles also came to worship. Now, Luke, who is actually writing to Gentiles, includes shepherds. So it's kind of the story is back to front. Fascinating. Matthew goes farther. In the genealogy of Jesus, he puts another stone in their shoe by adding 3 Gentile women in the genealogy: Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. Then Bathsheba, who was married to another. It's like Matthew saying, wait a minute. The king that we're talking about is not just a king for one nation. He's a king for all nations. So we begin this with these 2 readings that kind of paint a picture that is worth us noting. 3 games. There's a game called Codenames. And in those games, you have a clue giver. And then you have cards with words on them. The clue giver gives you a clue, and you are meant to uncover the word. Could it be that the star is a clue for the Magi? You will find a star, and that star will lead you to the word or to the king. Because Jesus is the Word. Could it be that God is saying, I've put clues everywhere. Just uncover them. The second point we're going to make is about another game. I call it the escape room, where you have a lot of clues hidden in different items, and you're meant to work out the way out. Could it be that the Magi were given this clue, but they had to work out the way? The second point we're going to make is about having all these clues and connecting the dots. Where do these clues lead to? And then point number three is going to be another game that they play that is shown on the television screens. It's called, can you guess the game? The Traitors. The thing about the traitors is you got the faithful who are trying to find out who is sabotaging us, who is trying to eliminate us, who is targeting us. And then the traitors are working in the dark. They hide themselves. Could it be that the third point is that there is someone who's sabotaging, someone who's oppressing. And when the light comes, darkness is revealed. So could Epiphany be about you realizing that there's clues all around us? Could it be about us recognizing that we can connect the dots, and about us knowing that when we see the light, darkness has no chance? So the first point we're making is seeking the truth that the clues are pointing to. There is clues everywhere. Look at the planets. Look at the insects. Look at the butterflies. You like nature. Can all this be just by chance? Our ability to love so deeply and also hate so deeply. Could there be a battle between good and evil right inside of our hearts? In a materialistic and individualist society, we struggle to find these clues. Are we too distracted? Or are we becoming too comfortable that we're waiting for someone else to do the hard work? Is God saying, I've given you clues so that you will seek me? And when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. How far are we willing to go to uncover these clues? For Moses, there was a burning bush. This is not normal. The bush is not getting consumed. Moses could have just walked away and said, well, I don't know. He drew closer. Could God be saying in 2026, we need to get closer. We need to get closer to uncover what has already been revealed. Jesus said that what has gotten lost with the wise, he's revealed it to children. Could the star ignite our curiosity to seek? Could Epiphany be about us realizing that there are clues all around us? May our prayer be that, God, in your mercy, may you give us signs that we cannot reject. Give us signs that we cannot ignore. What is it this year that God is showing you? What clue has he given you? Matthew chapter 11, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Question for us, home group leaders, one to dive into. Can one have an epiphany if they're not willing to seek or uncover the clues? We got family members who may not be interested at all. I'm just happy. Is it possible to have an epiphany? Is it possible for the Magi to stay in Persia and still meet the king? I don't know. Bible says, seek me while I still may be found. And if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. But let's go to point number two. Connecting the dots. Of course, we know that these dots live somewhere. For the Magi, they may have thought, you know what? A king is being born. Now, kings are born and they're in palaces. Yes, we got the clue. If I'm looking for a king, I'm not going to go to the slum. I'm going to go to the palace. Could it be that most of us have connected dots and used our humanly wisdom to try and find the answers? What if we have seen the star but misconnected the dots, hence ending up in a palace instead of his presence? You could have an escape room with lots of clues in front of you, but somehow you sometimes have to call the game's master saying, hey, we're stuck. We found out that this leads to this and this. They all make sense. We found out that in the beginning was the word and then, but we don't understand. Can you give us one more clue? Sometimes when it comes to scriptures, it's good for us to say, Manda, I need some help here. Oh, someone help me. What does it mean that we're going to have eternal life? Could it be that God is inviting us to be in that locked room so we can just give him a call? This year, will you determine to not just be stuck in a palace? There is something deeper. My question for us is, which palace have you ended up in? Is it one of a football stadium? You just love sports so much. That's where you're spending most of your time and money. Is it an outstanding university? You're studying, you're getting all the wisdom in your head so that you can solve the world's mysteries. Is it a marriage that you're putting all your hope in, that if this goes well, then I'm happy? What is it? Could God be asking you a deeper question? Which palace is stopping us from moving farther? May God reveal to us the things that we've become comfortable with that are not necessarily where he wants us to be or who he wants us to find. Discerning this may need a bit more than just willpower. God, help us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. Those that live by the Spirit, they are the true sons of God. Romans 8, 14. Have we been distracted? Is it a divorce that you've gone through that has made you say, you know what, I've had enough? Is it the death of a loved one? Could the epiphany be more about knowing that where you are is not the destiny? And when you successfully connected the dots, where did you end up? We know that the shepherds ended up going to the manger. The Magi didn't go to the manger. Theologically, we can discuss that at some point. Because Luke talks about all these shepherds in the manger. But Matthew says it was two years maybe. The baby is not, they had a home. So could it be that each one of us has a different destination? Where Amanda ends up is not where I may end up, but I can still meet the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. So when you've connected the dots, you may not end up where your neighbor is. So the question is, where are you going to find him? Or where did you find him? Was it in Sunday school? Was it in 3-2-1 course? Was it at work when they said your job is over? Where? Point number three, light. This is where we talk about the last game, which is talking about the traitors. Now, what we know is Jesus is light, and in him there is no darkness. Herod was asking questions, but with false motives. Could it be that when the light comes, it reveals things that would rather not get revealed? So our epiphany may be saying, it's coming out in the light. God, have mercy upon us. But the light is good news, except for the Herod. Isaiah 9 says, people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. What we see in Matthew is the fact that there was wailing. Rachel wails, according to the prophecies. The kids have been killed because Herod is killing any kid who is 2 years and under. So it's good news for some, but for some of us, there's wailing. Could the good news for some people bring enmity? Could it be that the more we go closer to God, the more we feel the world is pushing back against us, asking us to cheat, and yet God is saying, nah. Psalm 72 says, one who is greater is coming. So, we see, could revealing the light also bring enmity because true light exposes the deeds of darkness? John chapter 3 says, the light has come to the world, but people love darkness. Verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come to the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. So could this good news be a bit more about saying, God, have mercy upon us. May you take away our deeds of darkness. May you help us come before you, who is a true light. Because the world is offering us a light, a self-help. It's all about you. You can just feel good. Get these tablets, you feel fine. Have a bit more. Come, let's have a social group. Let's go to the pub to talk about nothing but about you. Could it be that God is saying there is true light? This year, may God help us find him in places where we thought we couldn't. So the question is, what would revealing the light mean for us in St. Mary's in 2026? I've been privileged the last year to see some of the support from the church as I've worked in prison, whereby there's some support given for me to run a Bible study session. And the men there have felt the hand of God through the gifts that you gave. What is it going to be for each one of us for this year? Will the epiphany be about us saying, God, where do you want your light to shine? Now, the shepherds saw the angels and they came before the king. Guess what they brought? They came empty-handed. All they had was their worship. Maybe you're here and you feel a bit on the loose end. You say, what can I give? I can't sing. I can't preach. Maybe even teas and coffees. I'm scared of getting it wrong. My family experience and life has been dire. If you had my story, you'd want to have a coffee with me. Maybe God is saying, bring yourself. Bring your worship. Acknowledge me. That is all I need. But maybe you're like the Magi, you've got it all. Maybe God is saying, bring the best that you have. What gifts shall we bring this year? Is it fairness? Is it helping the poor? Or is God just saying, can you be the light? So 3 points we've made today. One of them is that could the epiphany be about realizing that clues are everywhere? Just open your eyes. Look at the snow outside. Try to walk. Maybe God is saying, just walk to church. Just keep going. Second clue being, let's connect the dots. And if you've ended up in the place of comfort or a place where you feel distracted, may He, by His grace, help us to get up and go. And then the third one is, He is the light, and in Him there is no darkness. May God help us to be the light this year. May God bless you.